The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, 'While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I think we can legitimately ask, after hearing the gospel, or the first reading rather, proclaimed, what in the world is that about? The Israelites were in battle with one of their enemies. Moses, their elderly leader, was on top of a cliff, and somehow he had been instructed by God to raise his hands, which was the posture of prayer. And every time he did so, the Israelites would advance on their enemy. But when natural tiredness took over and his hands began to droop, the enemies would prevail. What in the world does that have to do with us? Well, from the early days of the church, Christians asked themselves that same question. And the unanimous opinion was it has to do with perseverance in prayer. Perseverance in prayer. So important to keep on going. We heard in the gospel today that we are supposed to pray always, and that's a command that is repeated in other instances in the New Testament. Don't give up. And in those days, Jewish people prayed in much the same way as Moses did in the first reading. They would stand. Normally, they wouldn't sit. He sat. He was an old man. They sat on a rock. But standing, they would extend their arms and look up to heaven, and everyone prayed out loud. And that's why Jesus told the story, could tell the story, which was true, I assume, about two men went up to the temple to pray, and the humbler of the two men heard the guy standing next to him say, "Father in heaven, I thank you and praise you because I'm not like this slob here, who does this and that and the other thing." Well, how did he know what he was praying? Well, it was because people prayed out loud in those days. I, for one, I'm glad we discontinued that. So, God does, in fact, want us to prevail in our battles against evil and temptation. He wants to give us more of his gifts, but he's laid down one condition that we may not often consider. We have to ask. When we ask, when we pray to God, we're honoring him. We're doing a good thing, even if what we're asking for may not be 100% correct. We should ask for it. That reminds me, when I was a newly ordained priest, I was sent to Lagos, Nigeria to be a missionary, and I ended up there 18 wonderful years. That's a long time. And Lagos was a city that was absolutely chaotic. It had about 21 million people at the time. Not one single traffic light. And the traffic was horrendous. And you, if you were so lucky as to own a car, you could only take your car out on Tuesdays and Thursdays if the license plate began with an even number. And the rest of the days of the week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, if your license plate began with an odd number, and it was still a mess. And one of the things that we'd frequently experience on the road was were other people in other lanes of traffic trying to get our attention so that they could sneak into our lane. Nothing wrong with that. We had to do it ourselves to get around. I went out riding one day. One of our employees was driving the car, and this man was sneaking his car in. But he wasn't making the customary begging sign, which was like this, please, I beg, let my car in, let me and my car in. And so I asked my staff member, I said, why don't you let him in? Why didn't you let him in? He said something I always remembered. He said, because he didn't ask. He didn't do that. He just was shoving his way into the traffic. Well, that in a small way, in perfect way, tells us what God is like. He wants us to ask. He wants us to acknowledge his sovereignty. Why should we keep on praying, though? What's the point of that? If we ask God in prayer for something, why doesn't he give it to us immediately? Why does he want us to keep on praying? Why does God have to make things difficult like that for us? Well, when we're praying for something, and we pray for something, the same thing over and over again for a period of time, I tend to think that's a sacred period. Because during that time, God may be trying to bring us around to his plan for us. We could say to his way of thinking. We know what we want, but Scripture says God knows what we need, which is a very different thing entirely. We only know what we want. We don't know what we truly need. Need to keep us humble, to keep us grateful. Everything we have is God's gift to us. And God wants us to live in such a way that acknowledges that truth. Otherwise, we start worshiping ourselves. We make idols out of ourselves. It might be that God wants us to continue to knock on that door by praying and praying because he wants to give us a better gift than the one we have asked for. Or it could be that the thing we're asking for would be harmful for us. And that if we actually could see it and all its ramifications, we wouldn't want to pray for it. We wouldn't pray for it. And maybe when we ask over and over again for what we want, God clarifies and purifies our intentions so that while we're demanding, you know, for that new job or that promotion or whatever it might be, God might slip into our minds consideration of what if we didn't get it, but got something else. So he's kind of loosening up, you could say, us to accept what it is we actually need. So it's a sacred time when we pound on the door in prayer of God's house for an answer. What else can we say about prayer? Well, actually, quite a bit. Many people, I suspect, think that we pray in order to get God to change his mind. Whoa, that's problematic. God doesn't have to change his mind. He doesn't ever get a better idea or ever make a mistake in his judgment. It's one of his perfections. We remember that, I hope, from our catechism as little children. So why pray at all? If God knows what it is I'm going to ask for and he knows what it is I really need, what's the point? Why don't we just sit there and let him take things over for us? Well, we pray not to dispose God to give us something, but we pray so that God can dispose us to receiving what it is he wants to give us. That's oftentimes very different. So it's not a matter of prayer of bringing God around to our way of thinking, but it's a matter of God bringing us around to his way of thinking. J. changing our minds to what we really need. You know, the Israelites won the victory because of Moses' perseverance in prayer. Because of his age, I suppose, his arms got heavy, but his brother and his other collaborators, we could say, came and held his arms up. They recognized it as important, necessary for the victory. But someone else prayed with extended arms, and that was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he did so notably on the cross. And that sacrifice, that gesture, was far more efficacious, far more weighty in effect than Moses's ever was. Moses's lifting up his hands in prayer, that was a prefigurement. It got us ready for the ultimate lifting up of hands of the God-man, Jesus Christ. He is our new Moses. That's what Scripture calls him. And Jesus actually has quite a few things to say about prayer. And I have to admit, for years, I just kind of rushed over them, didn't give them a lot of thought. Thought that some of them were kind of pious thoughts, but not to be taken literally. I no longer think that. I think they are to be taken literally. Here's one of them. Ask and you shall receive. I remember as a little boy, I decided to do that. I think I was trying to see if the statement of Jesus, ask this mountain to raise up and it will raise up and move or something. It didn't work. It didn't work. I was probably 6 years old or so. Ask and you shall receive. Notice it doesn't say you will receive what it is you want, just that you will receive. You'll receive something. Our time in prayer is never wasted. Another saying of Jesus is, seek and you shall find. Well, the same thing. You may not find what it is you are looking for. You may be given something by God which is infinitely better for you. Something that is perhaps medicinal, that brings us back to the center, to having a clear idea of what it is that's most important in life. And of course, knock and it shall be opened to you. Not necessarily the door you've been pounding on, give me this, give me this, give me this, but a door will be opened for you. And I dare say that there are many, many of us at church here this morning who have experienced the reality of that, praying for something, and God gives us something that in retrospect we recognize as better. It's never too late to begin praying again. I don't know if your church, I suspect it is open most hours of the day. That's an invitation to come and be present to God. I like that beautiful image of Martha and her sister Mary, Jesus going to visit them. And Martha was in the kitchen, bitterly making food for them and grumbling. But Mary chose the better part, and she was at the knelt down or sat on the floor so that she could listen to Jesus. She was present to Jesus. And I think that's what prayer is. It's like being the sister of Martha, Mary, who just wants to be present to the Lord. So let's give prayer a chance. Our Lord is waiting for us. He has something he wants us to know. He wants to be with us, and he wants to remind you of how much he loves you and has not ever forgotten you. So consider stopping by the church. It's not even necessary to go to the church. Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room and close the door. You can pray anywhere. So let's not let that wonderful opportunity pass us by. Let's give prayer another chance.